Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
That's Mabongi Mabaso and a lovely song taking us to the start of the show today. And that one is entitled Praises. A very good afternoon to you and a warm welcome to Thursday's edition of Heart to Heart. My name is Luko Mgwedi Puti and I am absolutely excited to spend the next 3 hours with you. Well, Thursdays are definitely a special day. Today we've got a lot of local tracks coming up. Got a Pitch Your Business chat coming a bit later on with Sally. If you don't know what that is all about, yeah, man, you're losing out. But you'll hear more about the competition. We are in the top 20 right now. The last conversation I had with one of the contestants, well, not just one. I had conversations with about 6 contestants, I believe. That was for the top 30. We're now down to the top 20. So I'll chat to Sally about that as he's part of the top 20. And also, we've got one of our beautiful devotionals by Mrs. Dlamini, Mrs. Lusana Dlamini, coming at about 10 past 1. And later on today, you know, we talk all things legal matters on the Legal Junction. Mr. Siyakamela is coming through at about 10 past 2 this afternoon. So it's a jam-packed show with great fun, I must say. So whatever you do, don't make the mistake of changing your dial. Keep it right there.
Become active. Active in faith. 657 AM.
Passionate about God. Passionate about people. Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Your daily companion. Download our mobile app or visit radiopulpit.co.za to listen to your favorite station 24 hours a day.
Soul Survivor coming out with Sinking Deep takes us to 19 minutes to the hour of 1 o'clock. And it is that time I told you about. You're wondering which time? Listen up to this.
The Pitch Your Business competition brings value to entrepreneurs all over South Africa and Africa through vital online business training. With marketing exposure to the value of 1 million rand up for grabs, the winner walks away with promotional exposure valued at 500,000 rand, along with crucial in-depth mentorship.
The top 20 participants in the Pitch Your Business competition have been selected. Congratulations to them for getting this far. They'll continue to compete for a chance to walk away with marketing exposure worth hundreds of thousands of rands and in-depth mentorship program by the Northwest University's Faculty of Economic and Management Science. The participants are currently being taught how to compile an effective pitch your business pitch, rather. Following the current phase, the top 6 will be selected and advance to the finale event taking place on the 12th of November at the Northwest University Funderbill Park campus, where they'll compete for the top 3 spots. Joining us today is a gentleman by the name of Hlalise Fika, and he's on the other side of the line to tell us about his journey. So Hlalise, good afternoon and welcome to Radio Pulpit.
Hi, Luko. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Feeling wonderful for this awesome opportunity for this interview.
Must be really excited.
Yes. Sorry. I'm just getting into just a quiet setting here. Yes.
Okay. Now, can you please introduce yourself, Shali, and give us a brief overview of your experience of the competition so far?
Okay, so Sally is a 30-year-old entrepreneur. I'd like to call myself as the underdog with big dreams, based all the way in Bloemfontein. And basically, I'm the founder and managing director of Oven Miracles, which is a FMCG company that we are specializing in consumer packaged goods, where our products basically comprise of a premix that we call a Miracle Quick Mix. And basically, we've been running that, or rather, as a business, we've been on and off for the past 8 years, mm-hmm. and it's been quite the passion for me that I've been pursuing. Yeah.
Well, I feel like you should have been part of the manufacturers in Daba that we attended yesterday. Definitely would have been relevant for you. Now, Shali, tell me.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, yes. Find out about these things the next time. Be part of them. Especially because you say you've been on and off for the past 8 years. Hey, go and meet up with, you know, industry associates. It really will benefit your business.
That's quite awesome, actually. But we do be trying to look at things like your exhibitions. And
yes.
Like, so I think I could tell you, even the one of the latest ones we had done, it was, I think, in June.
Yes.
And they give us some in-depth exposure into the industry that we went in, because we had been at a point where we've pivoted the business actually into the new stream. As I say, the on and off thing is us having pivoted into something else that's much more convenient for the consumer, because, you know, the big COVID you know, took everything askew for everyone.
Okay. Now tell me, Sally, what were the most valuable insights you gained from the idea to concept development training?
I'd say valuable insights from that first was this interest to the competition. I think it showed us more about how you should approach actually creating a product or a service for a customer.
Mm-hmm.
In our context, I think for a long time we've been always obsessed with creating a product first and then, you know, coming to find a market for it afterwards. Whereas over time, even from my own experience, but I think a competition like this one cemented it from a point of view as to what we were looking for, is that we had to deeply define actually what is your unique selling proposition, or rather what differentiates you in the market.
Mm.
And from there, actually discover what is the customer's need, what is their problem. You know, if you can take it from a point of view of trying to solve a problem for a customer, it's much easier for you to come up with a solution, because you actually do the listening instead of much of the talking.
Yes.
Because I think many of us as entrepreneurs, we like to think that we are right with everything. Whereas the most important thing is that if you look at the context, that look, you have to firstly listen intently as to what does your customer give out, and then from there you can start to actually develop an offering for them that could be competitive but not also offer value into the market.
Wow. Tell me, Sally, how has this knowledge helped you refine your approach to business?
It's interesting in our case that from the first entrance of the idea to concept development, we had already started with our pivot of a product, because initially we were working with, as I said, the on and off thing. Part of things is that before COVID, we were mostly focused on the baking industry. So we were baking, we were bakers ourselves, producing manners of cakes and confectionery items to our local community, which had a bit of a boom back in the day when it was fully running.
Mm.
And then after COVID, then we thought to ourselves that, look, look at something that is much more practical long-term. Not to say that baking wasn't, but, you know, in the baking space is that you're always competing with a lot of other people. So we thought, why not actually take a stance where you, instead of being a competitor amongst others, why don't you supply them rather? So we took it from that point of view, and we also had started with an entrance of specializing with powdered foodstuffs. So with powdered foodstuffs, we realized, like, look, you have a longer shelf life, where with cake you have like 7 days, whereas with powdered foodstuffs you're talking from 9 months to 2 years, whereas you have these powders that you can do a multiple set of things with them. So from that point of view, we're like, look, this is a focus as far as tackling even food security and what it looks like in the country. And then from there, we're like, look, it's a broad space for us. You know, it's more like even a medium to express oneself in as far as creating value for the customer and the client alike.
Mm.
So from that point of view, we figured, like, look, our initial entrance was the premix that we're currently working with and the spice. But we realized, like, okay, the spice, not to say that it wasn't didn't have a strong value proposition, but we were like, there was already a lot of players in it.
Yes.
That even I had to consult upon going to the next stage, which was with the business model canvas, to say that, look, can we specialize more into something that would be feeding stronger to our niche, but not just our niche, but also a purpose that we intend to serve to the consumer. That is when we actually, you know, fine-tuned all the other aspects that we were dealing with as far as creating value for the consumer.
Wow. Now, the business model canvas is a powerful tool for mapping out the key actors activities and resources of any business, Tlali. What key takeaways did you get from working with this model, and would you say it's easy to apply?
It's quite interesting to apply. Is that the thing is, when it was first presented to me, especially on the the round that was following, which was actually the previous round we just went through, it opened up a full view as to what is it that we are actually supposed to be looking at. And it actually delved deeper, because for me, I realized that I'd already studied what a business model canvas is. I thought there was many multiple ones, because I'm a stern follower of Dr. Alex Osterwalder.
Okay.
And I looked at more of his work, and he actually invented the business model canvas. Mm. And when I went into it, I was like, okay, it pretty much works around in how I've been always exercising, how I try to do business. Mm. Be it that from a value proposition, that you must have a very strong value proposition, all the way to understand that there's a right side to the model canvas, and then there's a left side of the model canvas, being that the right side is consumer-centric. It is where you're going to actually demonstrate how you offer your value proposition to your various customer segments, how it intertwines with the channels that you actually get your value proposition to them, all the way to that customer relationships. I mean, they can differ from what is it you're seeking to get from them, and then and also what they derive from you. From there, of course, that's how you then are able to manifest your value, your revenue streams. And then lastly, I'd say that the other part of it is that seeing as to what key partners fall into as far as what it takes to actually set up a business. You'd think that, you know, once you're done buying your stock and you've bought your equipment, you're finished. But actually, it's a long-term relationship that is always tied. Because the thing about the entrepreneur that people don't ever realize is that you're the one always running around
connecting
disparate parts that are actually key and pivotal to actually you're having your business actually thrive. So with what it is that I have learned from it is that I've seen deeper insights to say, okay, this thing called a value proposition, it's not this waffly thing that you can just pass by. Value proposition is something that, even as I'm speaking to you on the phone, is that you know it intently within your heart that, okay, when I wake up this morning, I know that I need to drink some water.
Yeah.
When I go to the gym, I need to have a shake. You know, when I'm feeling peckish for lunch, I know that a certain meal that I need to do. And then when I go to fill up fuel in my car, I know that, okay, I need this type of a fuel and not this type of a fuel from this particular service station. Even doing like a cross-referencing of like what is this? These value additions to the customer. If I'm just going to make a small example, when you go into a service station to go into fill up your fuel, then you also find that there's a promotional offer from your favorite retailer when you actually swipe.
Okay.
That is something that is a value proposition that you find that the normal consumer does not explicitly describe it like that, but when they actually speak, you can actually put it under a table to say, this is a value proposition. When I sell through X and Y supermarket, this is actually a channel. When I produce the product in this way, I package it this way, I market it in this stream, that's actually a key activity. So if in having those breakdowns, it makes it bite-sized, I'd say. And so it actually expanded upon my knowledge that I already had of the business model canvas.
Wow. As an entrepreneur, what would you say are some of, some significant challenges or obstacles that you've had to confront in your journey so far? And how have you been able to overcome those challenges?
Man, I could say that too many to mention, but if I think of notable ones, I'd like to think that when you think of the story of the underdog entrepreneur in South Africa, it's everybody has a deeper tale to it. But in our case, I think it's been one where we've always had to have faith in what it is that we carry out, and that has come at a heavy cost. That is from having closest friends moving away from you, family members doubting and not understanding what it is that you do. Whereas for us, we realized, like, look, this thing that we want to do, it might sound a bit far-fetched in some people's eyes and ears as well, but we say, look, we're looking to create something that will outlive us. It will actually be multi-generational, and it will have an impact that is actually even global. You know, I like to think only to the country and everything, but I would like to say that with even a program like this, it has actually made us see that the impact we can actually have can be one that can be witnessed on a global scale, as far as the value addition is concerned to the normal person in the street. So as far as going deeper with the challenges, I mean, in a brief setting, this, just to give you how long this journey has been, this is 2024 now. This business we call Oven Miracles stemmed all the way from 2004, when my mom just went to buy a microwave.
Wow.
And actually tried to set up cookies, and from her trying to bake her own cookies just to feed her own children, to see like, look, you know, my job is not really feeding me much right now, then let me see how I feed my children. Fast forward that by 5 years, one of his youngest child is actually in high school, you know, running out product up and down, and ensuring that that is our only means of sustenance, because there was a point where she was even retrenched from a job. Fast forward another 5 years after varsity, where, you know, I felt that I was so bit by the bug that I had to carry this on and actually give it a name, hence even Oven Miracles. We're like, this is our miracle, that in spite of the hardships that we faced, it's a story that we intend to see through. One where it might sound like a black child story, but I'd say it's every black child story. And there's one where you feel that you want to see it through. And once you see it through, there's no telling as to how many other more people in my situation and who have been in my situation it stands to impact.
Wow. Sally, I must say congratulations once again on your progress in the Pitch Your Business competition thus far. Tell me, how confident are you about advancing to the top six and ultimately winning the competition?
Goodness. It's been challenging. You people want a lot from us, but, you know, I would say a lot. It's not a lot, really, but you have to go deep as far as thinking. I mean, after you look at the work, after you've produced it, you actually realize that, like, these are actually bite-sized bits of content. However, it's one of those when you think that when someone says that, you know, the thing about what you're seeing here is that it looks so easy, but the effort that has gone behind in making something look easy or make it look just so doable, you'd never really, you actually underestimate it until you're going through it and you're actually seeing it. So as for making it to the top six, look, I believe that even as I speak to my family as well, they know that when I do something, I set my mind to it. And I already project the end in sight, regardless who could say this or that. And it's easier to have a voice of doubt within yourself to say that, no, you're not good enough, you can't make it, and everything like that. And I just like to put those things, you know, they call them the sleds for the horses, ortlapis.
Okay.
I just put those things on and get me some tunnel vision. And I say, look, I'm going to, these are the objectives that I set up for myself. And God willing, I know that if it is where that I am intended to be, I will be there. And all I know is that I work as hard as I know that it depends on me. But, you know, even when I throw an element of prayer and meditation to it, it is as if it depends all on God. So as to me making it to the top six, I am confident, but I will say that I'd like to keep humble about it, because I'm just like, you know, you can never blow your head too much and say, oh, yeah, no, I'm here, I'm there.
Yeah.
You know, it is not a competition. If you think about it, it is not a competition at the end of the day if you actually know the outcome. So
right.
I think that is also what makes it enticing, that, you know, you actually go into it, you actually give it your all, you make sure that everyone who is your fellow contestants who are competing against you as well for the prize, it comes across with them that they know that they respect the caliber of what is this, the institution that has given us this opportunity. So as to making it there, I'm really like holding thumbs. I'm doing the best that I can. right now we had to submit a video. I mean, I had to run up and down, hushing everyone in the house to say, look, I have to put this together, I have to put that together. You're going to help me with this. You're going to help me with that. Is this right? Did I say this correctly? Did I put this? It's like, that's how I say, when it seems easy, but you never actually think as to how many iterations of the concept that you have to put together so that you're actually presenting something to the would-be panel and people who are necessary as far as the stakeholders to actually be impressed by what you're bringing forward, but not just impressed, right? I think it's always like seeking a sense of impression to say, oh, I'm here and whatnot, but actually to hear your story and hear the value proposition. I keep going to that term, value proposition, because that is the core of what it is that we're in business for.
Okay, Sally, so quickly. Sorry, I'm running out of time. Got to go to the news. In your opinion, what gives you the biggest advantage?
I would say because what I'm giving, the solution that I'm giving to South Africans, and I'd say Africa, it's in itself and it's in its word itself, I'd say it's just that water. And how nice would it be when you think of any problem that you're facing with it? I could just tell you, add water to your problems, nothing else. You don't have to think too hard or anything like that. It's just add water, you know. And if you understand it from that point of view, you actually see that, you know, sometimes even the most complex situations in life, they require the simplest of solution.
Wow. What would winning the Pitch Your Business competition mean for you and for your business?
Wow, what would it not mean? Because I think it would be a validation that everything, all these years, close to a decade that we've put this together, that it actually means something. It actually means that my dreams are valid, my family's dreams are valid, and I know that for sure that taking it forward, I know that we will be able to, you know, bring forth a new age of entrepreneurs in this country that is much needed.
Wow, love that. How do you then envision the prize impacting your growth and development?
Basically, we see it that we are in a third cycle of entrepreneurship with where we are, and we seeking to have product, or at least we seeking to have equipment and distribution for our products, because for a long time we've been outside a space without compliance. So we seeking to have compliance. And from compliance, equipment that would help us produce the products that we have. Wonderful products, by the way, that we do have. Setting up a distribution platform, this being through an e-commerce store. And from an e-commerce store, ideally having premises that are set up in our yard, because we have a large piece of land that we know that with the resources, we actually be able to develop and actually start this thing with a proper kick that it actually requires to the market.
Okay. Lastly, Hlali, tell me, has participating in this competition taught you anything new about yourself or your approach to business?
I'd say it's a lot to mention, but more than anything is my persistence. And it has strengthened my faith in actually, you know, what God has for you as a person. And, you know, that might sound even so cliche, but I think when you actually are in line with your purpose, so many things, they start happening for you. Even the universe itself conspires for your own success. So for me, if there's anything it's taught me, is to actually to have a very tenacious attitude when it comes to life, but also having a sense of humility, knowing that everything that you do put your mind to and you give it effort as you need, it will happen. If it's meant for you, it will happen.
Hlali, thank you so much and all the best. Hopefully we'll have this chat when you are in the top 10 or top 6 again.
Yes, yes, indeed. I am looking forward to that. Power of the tongue. That is what I believe. So I'm taking from your words to God's ears.
Come
That's
on.
What I run with. And I'm saying that I'm calling it forward to myself as well. And I am calling this conversation into being. So I am looking forward to that conversation when it comes. I'm not an ifist, I'm an whenist.
Come on. God bless then, Hlali. Have a great day.
Likewise, likewise. Thank you for the wonderful chat.
Pitch Your Business is brought to you by IM Youth, Radio Pulpit and Radio K Pulpit in partnership with TBN Africa and Northwest University's Faculty of Economic and Management Science and its Beehive Enterprise Development Center.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith and love. on 657 AM.
Imagine a place where young people can get answers to difficult questions, seek advice on issues that they struggle with, listen to uplifting music, and find relevant and godly content that can help them shape their identity. All this while also having fun in a safe space and environment. Well, the new I Am Youth website is just the place where you can find this and so much more. Go to iamyouth.co.za for an experience that will stay with you for life. I Am Youth. Life explained.
We understand that as a young person, you face many challenges that threaten both your safety and mental well-being. And in this fast-moving world, you don't always have someone to talk to. That's why I Am Youth has joined hands with Child Protection Hotline to give reliable and accessible counseling to young people. So send a WhatsApp text, SMS, or call the number 076-037-6345 to get help today. We believe that you are worth it.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.